One of the real challenges of studying the Old Testament is to make sure that we can relate to the teaching of the Old Testament with the New Testament application. We encountered this in our Sunday morning Bible class this morning. The penman of the book of Ecclesiastes was bemoaning the fact that someone might work very, very diligently, very, very hard, amass all this wealth and money and not be able to take advantage of it. Maybe even a foreigner would come in and take advantage of it. And in that setting, he said, it would be better just to never be born. Well, that was that setting. That's certainly not our New Testament setting. It is not good that a person never be born, because that means that person will never have an opportunity to spend eternity in heaven. It means that person will never have the opportunity to reach out and convince someone else to spend their eternity in heaven. So if a person is interested only in amassing wealth and things like this, I suppose it's better that they are not ever born. But if we're interested in serving Christ, it's necessary that we are. I appreciate Landon's singing. I especially appreciate that he chose that last song to lead. That is going to be the foundation, actually, of our lesson. In fact, let me read just the chorus again. It says, "What shall it be? What shall it be? What will your answer be?" You know, that's a very intriguing question. Whether that question was asked in the Old Testament or the New, it's very, very important that we understand it. Now, I'm sure you already realize that comes from a question that Pontius Pilate asked in Matthew chapter 27. He had tried to trick the Jews into allowing him to let Jesus go free and keep Barabbas, a noted criminal, in jail. And he gave them that opportunity. They chose Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. And his question was, what shall I do then with Jesus? And I bet you remember their answer also. Let him be crucified. You know, that was a difficult time for Jesus. Just hours before he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was spending his last night with his disciples, Judas and the Jewish soldiers now have come up, and Judas planted that betrayal kiss. Jesus is arrested, submitted to a mock trial with false witnesses, then taken before Pontius Pilate, the Roman authority. The reason he was taken to Pilate is because the Jews wanted him publicly executed, not privately somewhere, not assassinated. They wanted him publicly humiliated, publicly executed. They want his disciples to be publicly embarrassed. And Pilate offers them Barabbas. They would not be satisfied. And he said, what then shall I do with Jesus? What I'd like to do for a few moments today is look at various responses that people give to that same question today. And our response depends completely not only on how we feel about Jesus, but how we feel about the claims that Jesus made. For instance, we begin here. Jesus claimed to be fully human. Think about that for a moment. Jesus claimed to be fully human. Brethren, I know some Christians that have a problem seeing that Jesus was fully human. But he was. Otherwise, he would not have felt the pain of the crucifixion, the pain of his life. Otherwise, he would not have been tempted in all points like as you and I as human beings are, yet without sin. Jesus was fully human. One of my favorite stories, so if you go to church here, you hear this often. Jesus takes his disciples to the coast of Caesarea Philippi and says, now listen closely, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Jesus was saying, I'm human. Jesus is saying, I'm man, and Jesus' humility ensured that he taught those things that were right concerning man's relationship with each other. He had to be fully human to explain to us how we are to relate to each other. But Jesus also claimed to be fully divine. I've never known any Christians that had a problem with that. Going back to our Matthew 16 illustration, when Peter said, John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? Who am I really? Now notice the answer and notice Jesus' comment. Peter said, thou art the Christ. You're the anointed. You're the Son of God. You're deity. And Jesus says, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee. He didn't figure it out himself, but my Father which is in heaven. Jesus' divinity ensured that he always taught those things that were right concerning not our relationship with each other, but our relationship with God. He was and had to be fully human. He was and he had to be fully divine. And let me personalize the question again. Because I assure you this morning, I'm searching for your heart. If I hit your toes, I missed. I'm aiming at your heart. My brothers and sisters, visitors, friends, what will we do with Jesus? Now, for the rest of our time today, let's talk about how some people relate to Jesus and his claims. There are some people that just completely reject Jesus. They reject his divinity. They reject his humanity. There are some that even say he was not a historical figure. Others will acknowledge he was a historical figure, but they deny the lessons that he taught. Actually, what they're denying is his divinity. They're denying his authority. And I would like to ask those people who deny Jesus' authority, by what standard are you judging Jesus? What is the standard that you're using? Well, some might say, well, by the standard of man. Brethren, that's humanism. Humanism teaches that all of us are deity. Therefore, no one is special and no one can tell us what to do. Maybe some people judge him by the standard of humanity. Others might judge him by the standard of no standard. There's just no standard. That's people that would say, no one, including Jesus, including you, have the right to tell me anything. You can't tell me what to say, what not to say, where to go, where not to go, what to do, what not to do. And if you try to tell me, then automatically you're branded as a hateful bigot. That's called political correctness. And brethren, that's making our job very, very, very difficult. Others in times past have used situation ethics or something like that. But some people just reject Jesus. They reject him as a man. They certainly reject him as a God. And the ones that do not accept Jesus as divinity also probably don't accept the existence of God in the first place. In fact, what humanity calls the wisest, smartest individuals to ever walk this earth, they're the ones that deny the existence of God, and it's just kind of a trickle-down effect. We know there's a God. Someday they'll know there's a God as well. Now, there are some that try to claim some allegiance to God, but they reject Jesus. They fall into categories like pantheism and deism. Nonetheless, they certainly don't believe in the God of the New Testament, the God of the Bible. Others reject the deity of Jesus because they believe that their opinion, their feeling, their thoughts are just as binding, if not more binding, than any words we might read. There was one very well-known, I'm using the broad definition, religious or Christian writer, that said that everyone has to make a response concerning Jesus. Every one of us have to respond to Jesus in some way. And he said there's only three possible answers we can find. Number one, Jesus is a liar. He lied about who he was, what he could do, who his father was, his authority. One response we can make is Jesus is a liar. Number two, Jesus is a lunatic. He's just crazy. He didn't know what he was talking about. He had no basis of intelligence in which to talk. They could say Jesus is a lunatic. But brethren, if he's not a liar and he's not a lunatic, then he's the Lord. And that's what he says he is. And that's going to be the criteria of judgment on the day of judgment. Every knee will bow to the Lord. Every tongue will confess our Lord. He's not a liar. He's not a lunatic. He is the Lord. Now, modernists reject Jesus' teaching because they say it's out of date. Well, Jesus was a Jewish man 2,000 years ago, and maybe his instructions were good back then, but that was then. This is now. Those were for the Jews. We're not Jews. Maybe this is what Jesus said, but let me tell you what Jesus meant. Brethren, that'll open all kinds of worms. They try to eulogize Jesus. They try to put his teaching in the grave, but it will not go. You might not even know this. Do you know that in the Islam religion, if you call it a religion, the religion of Islam, Jesus is recognized as a prophet, certainly not the Son of God, and certainly not deity himself, but they even recognize his teaching. Now, there's some modernists that reject Jesus as the Son of God, but they say, well, he had some wonderful teaching, so we will believe in his ethic. They say the same thing about Aesop's fables and William Shakespeare, but Jesus was inspired. Other modernists say that there is a God, but Jesus could not have been God. They try to impose their materialistic wills. Let me read a passage from Peter's pen. See if this doesn't sound exactly like the religious condition of our world today. 2 Peter 3, beginning with verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Isn't that what we hear often today? If Jesus was coming again, why has he delayed for nearly 2,000 years? It's because he works on his own time schedule and not on ours. And then there are some that say he's divine and not authoritative. Hypocrites, that's what Jesus would call them. And there are hypocrites even in the church. There are some that come to church every time the doors open, but as soon as they leave at the end and pass out of the parking lot onto Highway 35, Christ no longer has any control of their lives whatsoever. And they do say what they want to say and do what they want to do and go where they want to go. And then there are others that say, I'm a faithful child of God, but I don't have to gather with the assembly. I don't have to come to Jesus' house. Let me make a little bit longer reading than I normally like to. You'll recognize this as I get into it. It comes from Hebrews chapter 10. And having a high priest, that would be Jesus, over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold the profession of our faith without wavering, for he that is God is faithful who has promised. And let us consider one another and provoke one another to love and good works. Now, when do we do that? How do we do that? How do we provoke each other to love and good works? We continue. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And brethren, to me, this is the most frightening, or among the most frightening things ever written in the Bible. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation we shall devour the adversaries. Hebrews 10:21-27. Brethren, we need to boldly uphold Jesus' humanity. We need to boldly uphold Jesus' deity. And we need to meet the standard of the name and the word Christian. Christian is a follower of Christ. Not an atheist, not an agnostic, but a Christian who boldly accepts what Jesus says. Peter also writes, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps." Jesus, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him, that's God, that judges righteously, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that's the cross, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. For we were like sheep gone astray, but are now returned to the shepherd and bishop of our souls. 1 Peter 2:21-25. Brethren, we have chosen this life. We need to live this life. We've chosen to take up our cross daily and follow Jesus. We're following the cross bearer, and that's Jesus. What he did for us on Calvary, we could never do for ourselves. We could do every good deed imaginable every hour of every day the rest of our life. It still does not justify what Jesus went through to secure our salvation. Paul says Jesus is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, in everything, Jesus might have preeminence, Colossians 1:18. And we believe that he's coming back and judge the world in righteousness. And righteousness there is according to what he has said. The word, the teaching of Jesus, that's the criteria of judgment. Because he hath appointed a day, God has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man, that's Jesus, whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he hath raised him from the dead. And we say with John, and many signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, these signs and wonders and miracles and teaching and parables are written that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing we might have life through his name. Brethren, what are we doing with Jesus? What are you doing with Jesus? Are you rejecting him? Are you here in body only? Where is your heart? Is it on the one that took our sins away? If you are acknowledging Jesus as Lord and Savior and Master and King, let's continue. But if not, begin acknowledging him as Lord and Savior and Master and King. There's another song in our book. We conclude with this. It says, Jesus is standing in Pilate's hall, friendless, forsaken, betrayed by all. Hearken, what meaneth the sudden call? What will you do with Jesus? Jesus is standing on trial still. You can be faith, you can be false to him if you will. You can be true to good or ill. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus, my friend? Neutral you cannot be. Someday our souls will be asking, what is Jesus going to do with me? You have another opportunity now to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to have your sins forgiven, to have Him add you to the Lamb's Book of Life. If you need to respond to Jesus, please do so now as we stand together and as we sing.